For a man, is that learned behavior? And then I want to sneak into generational about, you know, generational curses. So do I have to learn how to be this way if I'm looking at my father? And then I'd have to go for four generations. And the way my father was raised, the way my grandfather raised my dad, the way my dad raised me, the way I raised my... So is this... I want to know, you know, it's giving...
I believe it's learned. Mm-hmm. I believe it's learned. And I believe that it has to be tied to being passionate about what you want to be and where you want to be. Because when you're passionate about something, you pursue every aspect what you need to know about that.
That's a fact.
But we live in a moment where we consider putting our efforts and everything that we have to be pleasured and to be entertained. Mm-hmm.
So if my dad was a Scrooge, let's say, Maceta in Spanish, right? You know, he wasn't a giver. You know, what do you, you know, again, the tale of two different people, you know, rich dad, poor dad type of idea.
Yes.
You know, if we can just walk around that idea, the idea of, hey man, somebody was raised where they saw their dad just like, no, no, no.
And then but there's a reason
you
for
see
that
somebody else, a picture of.
Yeah. We all have, as men and women, we all have a concept and a, an image of what money and resources mean to us. And we're talking about spender versus saver, as you know.
Yep.
Right. And why we choose to be frugal versus all out and so. Now, I want to put in parentheses here that we're all responsible to be good stewards. So when we say giving, right, and we're talking about all of this beautiful things about giving, it doesn't mean that we're irresponsible and we give all the time to everybody that asks and we just do blasé with our money and we're not responsible. We do whatever with our time, with our resources, with our gifts, and we don't have a set standard. Right. And we're not wise about who I'm giving this seed to.
That's right.
Because what you want to do is you want to make sure that you're giving in a place that potentially has the ground that's fertile, that's going to give fruit to that. To that gift, to that time. Mm-hmm. For instance, I'm not going to dedicate 50 hours to somebody that's going to take it for granted.
That's right.
Then turn around and within a week, a month, a year, I don't see results. And you can tell because we're all smart enough and we have common sense to know that where we're putting our resources, where we're putting our time, where we're dedicating X thing or where we are investing in our passions, right? And to who? So, you know, I want to make sure that we're clear about that, that we're not just saying, hey, listen, if you don't give, then you know, you're not a giver. There are some areas and there's sometimes that you shouldn't give.
So in other words, giving a no is giving.
Yes. Say that again.
Giving a no is giving.
Yes.
Because we're still talking about pride versus envy.
Absolutely.
Yes.
The man's pride.
And how we were created to give. And sometimes giving a no, you're actually giving that no to preserve a narrative that if you say yes, can be destructive.
And it comes back to enabling somebody.
Crazy.
Yeah, and it becomes an enabler. And you know, and if we're not careful, you know, because the Bible says, you know, for those of you that are the Christian believers, for God so loved the world that he
gave.
Right? So we, but he gave one time his son.
And the Bible says that in him were all things.
Absolutely. And now there is a level of, even within the core of marriage, and we as men who love our wives and love our children, now there's a level of responsibility to the receiver who's receiving from the giver.
And accountability.
There you go. Isn't that incredible?
Yes. What's so, wrong, Will? What's wrong? What's wrong, Will?
We dropped the bomb right there, because
I see you shaking your head like, I just, what's going on here?
Because it's so, you start, because one of the keywords you used is sacrificial, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and I can't help but go to my Bible. Mm-hmm. I just can't help to do that concerning man, right? It says husbands, love your wives as
you
Christ love the church.
Yeah.
And then it goes on and says that he what? Gave his what? Life for her. So there is a level. That's what I believe, that we are created in the image of likeness of God. That's why I don't think we have a hard time really giving. Mm. I think we have a hard time giving when we've been hurt. Because I believe that God created it within our DNA to die for the things that comes out of us in order to save them. I really believe that from the bottom of my heart.
I can't keep it together, man. I need a seatbelt here, bro.
And because if you look at it, right, there's a structure and a pattern and a principle he's laying out to the men who, by the way, if you don't know this, foundations are not built on women. They're built on men. Mm. The problem with a foundation is that if you put a building that's heavier than the foundation will crack.
And you know
Wait,
that we
oh my gosh.
And you know that we've been taught that the husband is the head of the household, is the head of the home.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, to that point, the husband is the foundation.
Exactly.
Yeah, but
of the home, because everything in the home that's built will be built over who he is and what he has established.
But exactly. The identity of the family and the way the family looks in this generation has changed.
Yes.
And may not always be male and female.
Well, then it's not a family.
That's why we were talking about that the culture today has redefined that word.
Yeah.
And has made it to fit their opinion.
Yeah.
An idea about what a family is.
And the problem with that is that you can redefine with words, but you can't redefine structure.
And principle.
You can't.
Because it's already been established.
Exactly. And if we, for those of you, maybe you don't understand what a principle is. Principle is a law that cannot be changed. It's what it is. Which means that if you follow it, it will always give you the same effect.
Exactly. That's why you don't ever follow truth.
Come on.
In building your life and pursuing destiny and purpose, you have to follow principles.
Okay. That's right. So, but then if you have the man, he doesn't do his job, he comes out of the picture. Now the woman is trying to do the man's job based on what you just said. Like, we have these are super women, obviously, that are raising an entire family by themselves. But
absolutely.
The design, it definitely was not designed to be that way.
And not only that, but if you talk to the men, if they were raising men, even girls, but since we're talking about men,
okay,
I can go about girls all the way, but since we're dealing with men, stay with that within the concept of that. If the young man did not have, apart from a father, a mentor, no matter how good of a job that supermom does, he's going to have some form of emotional dysfunction.
Absolutely.
Some form of male influence in their lives. And again, mamas, it doesn't take away from the wonderful work you have done. I believe that we are sensitive and compassionate and grateful.
Yes, we are.
And thankful to God for the hard work that you have done. But I know that because I've done the studies. Plus,
but it also proves the point even the more. Like, it's supposed to take two. Yeah, it's supposed to take two, and now you're carrying all that weight all by yourself.
Yeah.
So that gives even more, you know, a round of applause for the single mothers. You know,
absolutely,
no matter what.
And let me say this, if you don't mind, I'm sorry, but my brain is working here. And let me say this: I do believe that there are mothers who love God, and did not have a brother that could help mentor their son or anyone, we don't know. Mm-hmm. And God's grace and mercy can extend in such a way that your son is able to be fully functional.
Yes.
And able to move forward. Yes. So God can do that. We're not saying that God cannot. And I've seen in very few cases that it has happened, but that's not the way God made it.
And let me say this as well.
Good stuff, guys.
We might disagree on what the definition of a family is, especially in today's society.
Mm-hmm.
We have many friends that are in the gay community.
Yeah.
That are gay couples. We have family members that are gay, that are LGBT.
The alphabets.
Right? Mm-hmm. We still love them.
Absolutely.
And God still loves them.
Yes.
Agreed.
So I want everyone to hear that from me.
Yes.
That although we disagree with your lifestyle because of the principles that we guide ourselves by and we allow to influence us, we still embrace you and we still make sure that you know that we're genuine with you.
That's right.
Although we disagree on the premise and the dynamic of the family, of the true family, of the true intention of the family, of why the family was established a certain way and it should be a certain way.
That's right.
And all we're doing is going back to the original design. That's all we're talking about.
Absolutely.
Hey, this is the product and this was how it was built. You know, it's supposed to be this way.
Exactly.
And we didn't create that.
No. You know. God created it, and what he creates, he places a demand on. I'm going to say that again. Whatever God creates, he can place a demand on. I can demand on my kids because they are a byproduct of myself and my wife. So until they are old enough to create their own family, there's a level of biblical demand that I can place on them because they are a byproduct of me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're trying to, I think, establish here, to make sure that we understand God's structure for the family, and it has always worked.
And it will always work.
And will continue to
regardless work. Regardless of the dysfunctional offsprings.
Absolutely.
And the definitions and the variations.
That's right.
Of what families today should look like based on the pressure of culture.
Absolutely. And culture will always pressure you anyway. So
you guys mind if we go open forum a little bit with man questions?
Absolutely.
Or did you have anything else?
No,
okay, great.
Shoot from the head.
Go ahead, my brother.
I wanna open up something else since we have our special guest, Pastor D's in the house, Dr. Eddie's in the house, and my name is Will. Listen, I wanna know, do generational curses exist? And a B to that is, does my father have anything to do with what I've become?
Yes, I think yes. I believe that me and Eddie was talking about this, and we have different angles.
Yes,
to this we have different angles to this, and I think we both were able to agree in these different angles. I think they exist in the realm of patterns, because I really believe that patterns do exist, and because of that, it's passed on from generation to generation. I totally agree with that. In fact, the Bible teaches, we see that Abraham lied and his son lied. Identically the same. I don't know if you know that. We don't want to get into too much into that, but they lied. So yes, it can exist, and it does exist in many different people's lives. But I believe that Jesus Christ, for those of you who don't know this, but Jesus came to break that curse so that we don't have to follow that pattern. So there's a way to break the pattern.
Absolutely.
Okay.
What do you think, Eddie?
You're dead on. My perspective is that yes, generational curses does exist, and for us as believers, we understand that in the new covenant, when Christ comes and dies on the cross for us, every curse was broken. He took a submission over every aspect of what we're talking about, right? But there's still, he was so great, gracious in giving us the ability to choose.
Yes, come on.
Right? So it's a gift that was given to us, and he redeemed us, right, as humanity. But he still left it up to us to choose and to make the decision. He didn't impose redemption.
Nope.
Right? So I believe that although he lifted the curse and he took care of that through the new covenant, I believe that there are people and prior generations that still rejected him and in turn subjected themselves and their future family. Generations, and they still live in the curses of turning away and not accepting the sad. Redemption.
Such a sad thing, right?
Yes, and you can see it. Heart. Yeah, and you can see it in different countries that they're beyond poverty.
Yes.
And it's not about poverty, it's about oppression. Yes. It's about that no matter what resources the world, the globe pours into them, they always end up in the same place.
Yes, a poverty mindset.
And if you look at the root cause and the core, it always comes back to a spiritual aspect.
That's
and
right.
The rejection, right, of the creator and the acceptance of black magic, of all of the witchcrafts and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get a sense of, wait a minute, this ain't right. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. A lot of us, we look down at those societies, those third world countries. But we really don't know why and what caused the oppression.
Let's dig a little deeper here. I know some friends that their dad was alcoholic and the grandfather was alcoholic. So we're talking about the generational.
Mm-hmm.
I may have a family member that they got a divorce, but if you look back to their mom, there was a divorce there. So those types of instances. So is that a generational thing? And if it is, you know,
it's a pattern.
How do we stop? The pattern?
Knowledge.
And make it better.
Well, to me, to me, knowledge. You know, knowledge. I don't think knowledge is power. I think the application of knowledge is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little bit different about, you know, knowledge is power now, because you got knowledgeable people that are evil. Okay, but knowledge. It's you break it by number one, bringing truth that allows them to see. This is a reality that exists in my family tree, but it doesn't have to exist in this tree from this moment forward.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So it has to be exposed.
Yeah.
It has to be brought into the light, because if it's not brought into the light, then the pattern continues or the curse continues.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
And it's funny because when you're in a family setting, there are some things that are hush-hush. Put under the rug that you're not. If you did talk about it, you'd get the look.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, shut up.
Yeah.
Like,
because you don't want to expose it, or, you know, because now you're saying we need to bring the light to this.
And what you don't expose, you ready for this?
Oh, God.
What you don't expose, you empower.
Yes. And most of the time, you don't want to expose it because of pride.
Exactly. That's right.
We went right back.
It goes right back.
I am the only son of my father and mother.
Mm-hmm.
They were married 55 years, 56 years,
wow.
Right? My father is one of 11 siblings.
Wow.
Every sibling, I can't say, every sibling but my father and a sister of his have been divorced, have had sidekicks, side pieces, sugar daddies, sugar mamas.
Come on.
I have cousins like the rainbow. Because we were not prejudiced over any ethnic or background or any culture.
If it moved.
Where does that come from? That comes from my grandfather.
Wow.
That comes from his father. I was told recently that my great-grandfather's father spread seed all over the Caribbean.
Wow.
So God knows how many siblings his kids had. Then my grandfather, which had 11, he was kind of sort of the same, but contained a little more because my grandmother was pretty tough. Right. So we never found out if he had other kids.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that he was promiscuous because his father was like that.
Yeah. And then you're trying to be the best man you can be.
Right. So
but you got these urges and cravings. Yeah. And you don't know why.
You don't know why. So then my father came to the Lord, got married, came to the Lord and said, I don't want that.
Wow.
He went back and identified, where does it start?
Oh, man. Come on.
Wow, that's so important.
And says, okay, my son and my kids will not have that pattern.
Mm.
And so, hence, here I am. I'm the only son.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been married to mom. He was married to mom for 55 years. In my generation, here I am. I'm married.
Yeah.
I have 34 years with my wife.
Come on.
And
powerful.
We rewrote our story.
Yes.
Because we identified.
Come on, guys.
Where it came from.
Yes. And cycles that and of habits and patterns that we didn't want.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, my cousins of most of my uncles and aunts, they continue that pattern.
Wow.
They've had two or three wives, two or three husbands. They've had kids from here, from there.
Yeah.
And the family tree has grown, but it's dysfunctional.
Wow.
But it has a source. It has a
absolutely pattern. And before I know we're about to get to that place, but we really have to understand something. What we don't evaluate, we can't change.
Wow.
Think about that.
Wow.
If you're feeling, and for those of our of the audiences that are watching and hearing this, evaluate your patterns, evaluate feelings and thoughts. Don't just live with them. Evaluate them.
Wow.
Where's this coming from? Talk to mom. Talk to dad. Uncle. I went to New Jersey and I spoke to my uncle and he shared some things about some of my family. And I'm like, oh, man, that's me. And it was able to open my eyes.
Wait, but if your pride or your ego gets in the way, then it may get you to not want to evaluate or when the information comes, you might want to stop right there. Nah, and just turn about face. You're not ready to.
But the problem is that if you do that, you close the door for change.
That's right. Come on.
And then you're repeating something instead of creating something new.
Wow.
And better. So.
Absolutely.
That's amazing. I have one more question. Okay. I know we got to get going. Time is up.
So good.
This is good
but
stuff.
Let's try to wrap up on this one. Let's land the plane here. But what do I have to do as a man? This is from a listener that's listening. I'm asking for a friend. What do I have to do to make my consequences of the past go away? So whether that's generational, this is a very good question.
I'm going to leave it to the doctor here right here.
There are different types of consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the long consequences, the long-term consequences are just that, long-term.
Oh, wow.
So we have to really make sure that we're intentional in life of every decision that we make that may cause a consequence.
That's right.
You know, when my kids, when my two boys were younger, I would always preach to them, listen, you want to do something and you feel that you can get away with it and you can live with the consequences, knock yourself out. Because I'm not always going to be everywhere at any, every moment, at every time. But what I've sown into you, I hope that speaks louder than what you're listening to that may cause you to put yourself in a position that you have to deal with the consequence, right? So it's not as easy as saying, well, time will heal it. Time will take it away. Time will erase it, right? Unfortunately, there are consequences that are lifetime.
Absolutely. Yo, right there. This, all week long, I have had this question. Do you think time heals wounds?
Time heals wounds if you're working through. To me, it heals wounds if you're using time to work for you, not against you.
All right. Look at me. Look at me. Do you see the scar on my head?
Yes.
That was a wound. That was a brutal wound because of a car accident.
Okay.
That wound healed, but the evidence of that wound still exists.
Absolutely.
We're done.
So right it'll now. Heal you, but the residue of the reality that it existed is still very much evident.
Remains.
Absolutely. Evidence. I agree.
Man. And the beauty of this scar is that it reminds me every day that I get to live another day.
Come on.
To do what we're doing. To bring hope, to bring a sense of practicality to what we listen to what we get wrapped up in. We can say a lot of things, but if we're not practical and intentional about applying it, then it's just information.
Pastor D, we're going to finish here. Talk directly into the camera to a man that, and they may be listening or watching this, that feels like I'm wounded. I just want to give up. You know, my past, my dad, they may have all this baggage and luggage. Give them some sense of hope. Speak to somebody directly that's listening.
Real quickly, first thing I want you to know that your past does not define your present. It does not define your present. You get to choose to make a decision today that will revolutionize your tomorrow. That's the first thing I want us to understand. And what is that decision? To take in the identity that God, your Father, from the very beginning has established for your life. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, if I can end with that.
Yes, sir.
Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Then it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge the patterns he created.
Yes.
The principles he created. He says, if you acknowledge him, it says, then he will bring direction, identity, and purpose to our lives.
Wow.
Amen. Come on, man.
Thank you so much, guys, man. We appreciate it. This is so good. I want to send a shout out to quickly to our partners at Bridgework Counseling. They can be reached at www.bridgeworkcounseling.com. If you need a little extra help and maybe you feel like you can't take on the load on by yourself, you can contact them and they're going to be able to assist you and get some counseling to help you maybe through your past, maybe through your present, some things that you're going through, so that way you can affect your future. Again, that's www.bridgeworkcounseling.com. This has been a great show, and I just want to remind you, the only way to live is uncovered in marriage and in relationships. God bless you, and thank you for listening.